Would you pray with me?
Loving God, send your Spirit among us so that as we hear your word read and proclaimed, we sing praises your name as we gather in one another's company. May we see your face in the face of those around us. May we hear your Spirit speaking to us as we quiet our hearts so that we might listen. Whether through me or in spite of me, may your Spirit tell us what we need to hear this day so that we might be transformed in your presence and that our lives might reflect your glory. We ask that all in the name of Jesus Christ.
First reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. If you like reading along, you can open the Pew Bible in the New Testament to page 119. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in their own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'"
Our second reading today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, you can find that on page 174 of the New Testament. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, 'Let Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. In the narrative lectionary that we've been following since September, this marks the final story in that narrative that went all the way back to creation, all the way here now, to the giving of the Spirit for the work of the church. We remember that on this Sunday, the descending of the Spirit on the disciples. It was just a few days after Jesus had been taken up. And he said he would be coming back. It had been just a few days after they had watched Jesus leave and ascend into heaven, and an angel come down to them and saying, "What are you standing around for? He will come back, but you've got work to do." And the disciples were hiding out, hiding from potential persecution and anger and resentment towards them. Some of them had gone about their work of the family. Some of them had gone fishing in this time. And now they were here in Jerusalem on Pentecost Sunday. Now, Pentecost, the word means 50 days. 50 days after Easter, it happens during a Jewish pilgrimage festival. And so there were a lot of people in Jerusalem. There were a lot of people who had gathered. There were the Jews that worshiped God fully as God's people. And then there were Greeks who started believing in this God but hadn't converted to Judaism. They believed in the God of the Jews, but they weren't fully Jews themselves. And they had come on this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which is why there are so many people speaking so many different languages in this one space at this one time. And as they were gathered, the disciples, they see what looks like tongues of fire descending from heaven and the landing on each one. And through the gift of that Holy Spirit, the one that had been promised by Jesus Christ when he said, "I have to leave you," but he said someone greater would be coming after me, empowering you to do what I've commanded you to do. The Paraclete, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit descends. And all of a sudden, as the disciples were speaking and preaching, people were hearing them in their own languages. It recognized the diversity, the languages that they came from, but each of them heard the disciples speaking in their own tongue. And this was a mixed reaction, to say the least. Some had claimed that they were drunk, that the people hearing them preach in their own tongues were drunk and confused. And in a little later in this passage, Paul says, "We're not drunk, it's only 10 a.m. Others were amazed and perplexed by what it meant. Asking that question that we need to ask today: what does this story mean? Why do we tell it every year? Why is there that one Sunday a year where we break out the red vestments, the red decorations, the red flowers, and all of that, and we often wear red? Why is it that one day a year when we do this and remember this story, when there are so many other stories in the Bible that we cover once every 2 years, once every 3 years, if at all? Why this story? Why this moment does it mean?" Back in Genesis, there's a story where the people all spoke the same language, and they were united together in belief and function and language, and they decided to build a tower. They said, "We can build a tower that would reach up into the heavens," the Tower of Babel. And they worked together and they built this tower, and then God gave them, or depending on how you view it, cursed them with the gift of many languages. They no longer could work together. They could no longer communicate with one another. What once was a monoculture, what once was monolithic and their function, was now broken up into different languages. And those languages moved to cultures, and cultures moved to societies and nations and all of that. What we have here in Pentecost is not a reversing of the Tower of Babel and the gift of languages. It didn't all of a sudden erase the cultures. It didn't erase the languages, but it created unity in the midst of them. The gift of the Holy Spirit did not erase differences, did not say what you need is everyone to be the same, look the same, act the same, believe the same, and speak the same, but instead said, in the midst of that diversity, in the midst of that difference, in the midst of the language barriers that do exist, the Holy Spirit is at work. It does not get erased, but difference gets celebrated. Now, not everyone is open to this idea, then and now. There are many today that say everyone has to speak the same language. If you come to our country, you have to speak English. If not, you are less than. You have to believe the same thing. You have to look the same. You have to do the same. You all have to be working towards the same common purpose, whoever gets to define that. And only then will society be strong. Only then can society be stable and celebrated. But we serve a God that does not say that. We serve a God whose Spirit is at work in the midst of the diversity. And not only at work in spite of it, but at work because of it, because that diversity of belief and that diversity of function, that diversity of language, of ethnicity. We move back into 1 Corinthians where we've been for the last few weeks. We've jumped forward. We're likely a few years ahead of the Pentecost Sunday. But we see Paul now trying to explain this Spirit that we saw on Pentecost Sunday. This Spirit that had descended with power and amazement that caused some people to be amazed and some people to be perplexed and some people to say, this isn't right, this isn't true, you're all off your rockers. And this same Spirit, Paul wants to make that known, this same Spirit, this one Spirit is responsible for the variety of gifts. This one Spirit isn't responsible for the fact that some people have the gift of wisdom. Some people have the gift of knowledge. Some people have the gift of prayer. Some people have the gift of healing and miracles. Some people have the gift of tongues. Some people have the gift to lead, and some have the gift to transform. And all of these gifts come from one Spirit. The same Spirit that led thousands to come to believe in one day. The question for us is, do we believe that the Spirit is still at work? Do we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still available to us? Do we believe that the God who sent his Son to die for the sins of the world, this Son who promised that one would come to empower and to comfort, and the Spirit that amazes and perplexes and give gifts, is that Spirit still at work? The way we answer this question with our lives speaks to our faith, speaks to our understanding of God, speaks to how we understand God at work in our world. Because I think sometimes we can say that the Spirit is active, we can say that this Spirit still gives gifts, but we start acting like, well, maybe he gives gifts to some people, but I don't have any special gifts. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have any abilities that God has given me. I'm just me. So we fail to dive into what those gifts may be. We fail to take seriously this idea that, yes, God has given me a gift. I just need to figure out what it is and put it to use. If we find ourselves sitting on the sidelines because we think that God has not given us any gifts, then we've removed ourselves from the blessed community that Christ, that the Holy Spirit creates in giving those gifts. We hold back. And when we hold back because we don't think we have anything to offer, when we hold back because we're not anything special, when we hold back and say, there are other people who are better at this thing than I am, the whole body suffers. I think that's the point that Paul is trying to make in this letter. We've talked over the last few weeks that the people had set themselves apart from one another. They were starting to rank one another based on their various attributes, who that baptized them, who they believe and who they follow more closely, their ethnicity, their language, whatever it may be. And Paul is tearing all of the hierarchy down and saying, no, you are one. You are one body. You do not rank yourselves the way the world ranks you, because God does not rank you that way. And now he's carrying that same conversation in this conversation of gifts, where we want to rank, well, that gift is more important than this one. Paul is saying, no. All of the gifts are given by the one Spirit. All of the gifts are necessary for the work of the body. And when those gifts are withheld, the body suffers. Just as if my eyes had said, I no longer wish to see, whole body would suffer. If my stomach said, I no longer wish to digest food properly, surely the body would suffer. Another part says, because I am not a head, I am not important. Because I am not a foot, I am not important. Because I am not seen, I must not be important. Paul is using this metaphor of the body to describe the work of the blessed, beloved community, to say that every body part and everything it does, every gift it has been given to the whole body, is for its common good and is necessary. The whole Pentecost reminds us, and the story in 1 Corinthians of the Holy Spirit given gifts reminds us that every part, every person, every gift given is necessary. There is no place to be sitting on the sidelines. There is no place to be saying, no, I've got nothing to offer and I'm done. There's no place to be saying, I've done my part. It is time for somebody else to do theirs. Isn't that sense? Because just as the body cannot replace its brain because it is done and we just need a new one installed, there's no grafting out a part of the body and replacing it with someone else. All of the gifts are necessary. All are important, and all add to the work of the Holy Spirit. It is up to us to prayerfully ask God, what gifts have you given me? And how can I use them for the common good? What gifts have you given me over a lifetime of experience, of work experience, of living, of loving, of challenges? What gifts have you given me that I can make use of? I don't know her fully, and unfortunately can't remember her name at the moment. But she asked us if we had any ministries for those families, those adults who were unwillingly not parents. I can't remember the exact term she used. It was an acronym. But those adults who find Mother's Day painful, who find Father's Day painful, who find children's moments in the Sunday message and the Sunday sermon painful to them, and they're working through that pain, said, I can't find any churches in our area where people like me can come and not experience such heartfelt pain. Do you have anything? Maybe that's something that you've experienced, that you've worked through. You've worked through that pain, that tragedy, that loss. Maybe you still experience it. And there are other people in our world, in our community, who need your voice and your presence to speak to them. So this isn't just about talents. It isn't just about gifts and things like that we've been given that we can do with our hands. It's also about using our history, our story, our challenges that we've faced, the ways that we've experienced healing and hope, the ways that we've experienced a God at work in our lives, and seeing them not only as those challenges, not only as those pains, but opportunities of growth and faith that we can share with others. And when we hold back our stories, when we hold back those stories of healing, where the Holy Spirit has been at work in our lives, it is like holding back those gifts. The whole body suffers. We are made less because of. There truly is the power of transformation through the presence and power and continued work of the Holy Spirit in the church today, in our communities, wherever we find ourselves. The choice is yours. How you respond to the Spirit is up to you. I can't make that decision for you. Someone else can't make it for you. It's up to you. And my prayer and my hope, today we pray. We say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend upon me. Descend upon my life. Take all that I have, all that I've experienced, all that I will experience, all the good and all of the bad. Transform it. Redeem it. I offer it up to you. Not for my sake, but the sake of your glory and for the sake of a world who is hungry, who is hurting, and who is in desperate need of the transformation and healing that the Holy Spirit provides. May that be your prayer each day. May your life reflect that desire for God's Spirit to move in you and through you. And may you trust in that Spirit to take you and guide you and to speak through you so that you don't have to speak and live that you might say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and hold you back.
Loving God, we give you thanks for gathering us together as your people for that time of prayer where we heard one another, we listened to one another, we encouraged one another, and we prayed for one another. And now as we regather as the full body, we lift up those requests that have been lifted this day, those in our hearts and minds and those we have spoken to one another, all of which you are aware of. We lift up Lori and her husband for the transformation that's coming as they become foster parents. We pray for the teen that they will be working with. It is challenging for sure. It is difficult work, but it can be blessed work that leads to transformation and welcome and fullness. So we pray for them all. We pray for our world. We pray for all those who live in fear. Fear of war, fear of death, fear of persecution. We have no idea what the future will hold. So help us to be people of faith and hope rather than people of fear. We pray for all those who are in leadership across the world. We pray that there may be a sense of peace and understanding that may grow between them. That there may be found a way forward that we cannot see for ourselves now, and perhaps they cannot see at all for themselves. But we know that your Spirit is at work in our world, in all places and all peoples. Let us find a way to celebrate diversity, celebrate difference, celebrate one another, rather than live in fear of one another. Help us to do that here where we are now, where we find ourselves each day. Help us to live as your beloved community, sharing our gifts, recognizing and seeking the gifts of others, valuing the presence of those that the world looks down on, seeing it as a sense of fullness and hope and celebration rather than one of division and fear. We ask that you help us to live as your disciples, to praying each day for your Spirit to guide us, to guide our thoughts, guide our words, guide our deeds, and how we speak and live in this world, so that by our example you may be glorified and your light reflected into the darkest places. Help us to live as your disciples, people following you so closely, wherever you may lead us,
seeking to know what you know and do what you do, all in your name. Hear the yearnings of our hearts, the pains that we feel and see, those that we have lifted up and those we have not quite given voice to. And when words fail, let us turn to the words of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
May you go from this place trusting in the Holy Spirit that brought you here. May you seek the Spirit in your life, transforming you and giving you power, so that you might glorify God in what you say, what you do, and how you live. May you go from this place in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.